Right, yeah. Now,
sorry.
I'm not
on
that. I heard at home.
Yeah.
But there was some old people, very old people, there were carry to our house.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, they do. That was weird. That thing.
Right.
And my father had it from the Mayor's to see that at one time, in that thing, that there was a man lived down on the edge of the lake. Now, there was people living down from Mayor's, which would be along the bank of the lake. And
which lake would that be?
Lake Lamoille.
All right, okay, yeah.
Yes. And they had the set pipes. And the man that ordered them apparently was killed in that time, in 1798.
Oh,
okay. He was killed, I believe, but that says the story was told.
And was he a bit of an O'Malley?
And he was, no, he wasn't.
He wasn't,
wasn't belonging to them at all.
No. All right, okay, yes.
He was living there, he said.
Oh, sure, okay.
And old Larry Malley, one of the old Malleys,
yes,
sold the best cow that they had on the land for to buy the pipes from wherever they were.
Oh.
Now, whether that would be the pipes, those ones, because old Larry Malley, yes, he
yeah,
had
it. He could have had several sets, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it could have been his father or somebody who got this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I've got you now, yeah.
It'd be hardly his old Larry, because he was in the... He died at latter end of the last century. Well, it could be. But,
yeah.
Anyway, he bought the pipes when he saw the best cow that he had on the farm.
Right.
For the wife.
Right.
Because, of course, we were a lover of them.
Yeah.
Larry was Dick's father, wasn't he?
That was Dick's father, yes.
Or
Ed's father.
So as far as you know, or can remember, the story always was that they were Larry's pipes.
Well,
Larry O'Malley's pipes.
The ones that I have?
Yeah.
Well, the ones that I have are Larry O'Malley's pipes.
Right.
They are, the family.
The suggestion is that they were probably belonged to his father.
They belonged to this man, I believe, that he bought or bought back then. Because they had the story was told on different occasions. But you see that he saw the best cow that he had on the farm for the boy that made it at that time. So I know Larry, he was the pay the money for it. There was a photograph there of, and we can understand that it's all Larry.
Oh, it's okay.
That has the big sound. There's in a group of them.
Yeah.
But that's George.
Right, sorry.
Jonathan Aston there.
Yeah.
There. I think that's him on the left, isn't it?
Yes, as far as I know, that those are the pipes, because there was people that lived here in Kilmurray's, and they told me, they gave me that photograph, and they told me that they were the pipes belonging to the Mayors at the time. That's one of them. A lot of them.
Quite a few pipes there, isn't it? Four sets.
Yeah, four sets.
Where? That was at
Tristram. I don't know where that was taken. We don't know, because they were small forces that
they were blown up, weren't they?
The Murrays had, and I got them, and I got them blown up.
Mm.
A couple more of them there.
That's a great, great photographs.
Wonderful. Well, that's going up now from a very small, old photograph.
When would that have been? What year would that have been?
I would never know. Nobody seems to know.
No.
There's no date or anything on the little
photograph. Yeah.
Still
there,
okay.
That's look. I'm just looking at the length of the base room.
Yeah.
Very long.
It does look very long now.
Okay.
That's my memory is.
Oh yeah.
Funny. Was it as long as that?
I was wondering that.
It's a very long
does
road.
That one look
down base road?
It's on the chapter's different, you know? That's completely different from the top.
Is that one of the meanest there?
Well,
they
Kilmurrays believed that was old Larry. That was the old man.
All right.
But I'm not sure now, you see, it could be farther back.
And would you have any idea who these?
No, I have no idea at all. We know nothing about it, because that was, I got that just done off a lot.
Yeah.
this chap gave it to me. Sure. He gave me three of them when he came to
him.
And I said, get the nose and go over and he got them.
Yeah, this is the older photograph.
He copied it. They were a copy of and improved on the Terror Pipes.
Right.
It was on the Terror Pipes that he worked. And then he improved because he took the you see the ring going back over the car. He had that done away with it in that, didn't he?
It's folded back.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's folded back.
Yeah. That's the way Taylor's did it.
Yes.
They're very similar to the Taylor set, except that I've seen a number of Omidi sets, and he doesn't have, he has three regulators on it.
Yes.
But I think it's a tenor regulator he doesn't have on it, a small regulator. Like this double bass regulator is a copy of a Taylor's idea. And basically there's three keys on it.
Yes.
And the keys are quite clever the way they have them reversed.
Yes.
But if you hit the top key, it opens the bottom hole.
Yes.
And the bottom key opens the top hole.
Yes.
You know, it's just so that because it's folded back, you see, it's not in the same logical sequence. So he has them reversed the keys, but in appearance they look like they're exact same as everything else.
Yes.
It's only when you look at it carefully, you're actually playing chords the same as the other two, even though it's reversed. So you get quite a heavy, bassy sound off the regulators, you know?
Yes.
So some of the spikes are lovely.
Yes, they were a mighty
Yeah, especially in C sharp now.
Yes, they were a mighty one.
And do you think that's Omidi as a younger man?
Well, now, it is. Ken Murray's even believed that that is one of the, that is the main, you see, fact.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Nerdy.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. But they were people that thought it up there.
Sure.
Music.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it.
The sports.
And that was where he used to come to play. That was the
system.
That was at the Abbey.
Yeah.
The stage was there now. That was taken back. That must have been about 1926 or 27, that photograph was taken. Oh. Interesting. And that's where he used to play on the stage there.
Sure. And that's near here, is it?
It's about 6 or 7 miles.
6 or 7 miles away, yeah.
And that was his home place. That was his home really there. Later.
Oh, right, okay.
That's where they came from, or he was born and raised.
Yeah.
And there's an old church there beside the house.
Right.
And there was a stone steps up into the top part of it. And it was up there that he used to do his practice. That was our end.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's where he used to practice. He used to go up there and get away from everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where he practiced in this old church.
Oh, yeah.
From the top.
Of course, you get great acoustics, you know, with the...
That's nice, yeah.
Because I remember years ago, fellas telling me that one friend of mine, a flicker, Johnny Burke, who later went on just made quite a few sets, but he told me he used to practice, he used to sit up on the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
Just so that you'd have the open space and the echo, you know?
Yeah.
Just for the acoustics of it. He'd sit up at the top of the stairs to practice.
Yeah. And on a St. Patrick's morning, he used to take the pipes up into this place ahead of every St. Patrick's morning.
Yeah.
He used to go up and play there.
Yeah. And did you play pipes like from the time you were very young, or?
I was learning them when I was young, but we had nobody for the children.
Right.
There was nobody that could tell us anything. Not home. But a violinist that used to come down, and he used to set tunes for me, and he used to set them out with his hands, and
right.
Some of them had to be anything but right.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But that was all that ever got, but I never could have get anybody for to show me after me. I had R.L. when he set the pipes down to my father.
Yeah.
He drew a diagram of the chapter.
Oh,
on a paper sheet of paper.
Yeah.
I haven't got it. I don't know if it's a bit handy.
Yeah, sure.
And he had the notes all made out of it.
Yeah.
And the instructions about it.
That was
good.
Yeah.
That was in 19. That must be in the afternoon in the 1920s. So my father thought he'd be able to pay them.
Yeah.
So he was sitting married, and so they were there. I took them on.
Yeah.
And I had them up to try and invest. So, it was, the piper used to come there to use the play them in our house.
Right.
Along with the boiler. I mean, they used to come down the road there in the evening time, and they'd go in and the mother would take down the pipes and they'd circle them on and they'd pay there for a couple of hours.
Who, and could you remember who that is?
I do, yes, he was Kilmurdy. He was Joe Kilmurdy.
Joseph
Kilmurdy. And they were really interested in the maidens.
Yeah.
Because R.L. used to keep in contact with Joe Kilmurdy, the piper.
Right.
But sure, it was in that year that Joe started playing himself. He used to play a tin whistle book.
Yeah.
And then he started playing the pipes.
Right.
And of course it was by ear.
Of course,
he learned them.
Yeah.
And no matter who could play, he could get in and follow them no matter where they were. He'd keep on. He was a good piper. He was a good chanter player.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. And a good whistle player. And it was a brother of his that had those poems that he gave them to
me. Oh, okay.
He gave me the copies to get them done, and I cut them in
and you're actually related to the O'Meagas, though?
Well, my father was married to a sister.
Ah, okay.
All right. My father was married twice.
Right.
That was his first wife.
Right.
She was an O'Meagas.
Right.
We're all musicians, you see, all of them are made. Because there were a concertina player, and then there was violin. Now, Johnny Madian, a brother of R.L.'s, and he was a mighty fiddler. And he taught pipes and fiddles and all around the place.
So he could probably play pipes.
Very,
well.
Very,
yeah.
Very exactly.
Yeah.
Good player. He trained a lot of them. All good musicians.
And can you remember anything about O'Meagas' style of playing? Like, would it have been like close on a Rousham style, or like could you kind of say that it was a tight style or an open style, or can you remember about it?
Well, not so much. Of course, I remember just as on the tape that he made, the records that he
got. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear them?
No. No, I haven't heard them.
Group Johnny has the album.
Oh.
Uncle Johnny has
one. But the tape that we have copied off.
Oh,
and did you hear the one that was done from Belfast that the Radio Ireland done?
I think I heard some of them years ago, but I can't honestly remember now. You know, I know it's one of the few ones that I don't have at home.
Yeah,
I've got tapes of nearly everybody, you know.
Well, Radio Ireland, you see, in the long note.
Yeah,
they have the long one. Pardon me. Well, they have done research on it.
Mm.
And they got a lot of the people on the tape that had a deal with O'Meagas.
Sure.
You see.
Yeah.
And he played the tunes in between.
Oh, yeah, was it like an interview and then you play a few tunes?
Yes, he played the tunes.
Yeah.
I have a studio.
Yeah.
And Amelia, then, you see, he used to play on them. But now he's done two records for the ESP, or for the BBC.
Yeah.
As he wouldn't play. He played on the programme, children's programme, in the 30s.
Yeah.
We used to hear him there playing, you see, and even in the children's programme, and even they were having that.
Oh, yeah.
And he was playing. Now, he made a small set of pipes, what we call a small set, a lower one, not belonging to the big one, it's a small one, that he used to play.
Right.
And they're the ones that he would play at the end when he died. I don't know what became of them. He didn't know what became of mine. But he had them, and he used to play them at that time on the radio from the BBC. So.
He was gone from around here, though, I think, a long time, wasn't he? Like, he was up in Belfast.
He went to Belfast.
Oh, there's a Belfast.
But that had been in the 20s, wasn't it? Been as early as that.
He was in Belfast in the 20s, and he was, yeah.
And
his first wife, he had married twice, his first wife was dead in 22. She used to do all the work on the lights and all that stuff.
How many more jobs do you want me to have?
My father was in 1924.
He went up to Belfast, or?
In Belfast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My father went down to Belfast. That's him in 1824. Down to me on the opposite there, you see.
Right.
And it wasn't too far over to where Dick lived. So, of course, his father being a brother-in-law, he was pushing down to see
him. Yeah.
And we're in it, and his first wife was in it at him, and she was doing, she'd done all this embroidery for him and all that stuff. And
just put covers on the bags and
yes, she gave my father a needle and some of the thread.
Yeah.
And a piece with the embroidery done on it. Showed him how to walk for the north.
Well, you have something in store for
you.
So she used to do all that. Yeah.
But do you actually remember Amelie when he was here?
Oh, I do that, yeah.
You do?
Oh, okay. Yes, well.
Right.
Because I was even at home, but he came down on one occasion and, of course, he used to walk up with the net. He walked up to Valney Carrigan to have a few chairs, you know.
Yeah.
And when he was coming back, he came into our house and he had a breeze.
Yeah.
Which he made. For the pipes.
Right.
So he got them, he brought down the pipes too, and he took out the rush out of them, and he examined it, and he had a magnifying glass.
Oh, okay.
And he examined it, and he got it, now you never forget him doing it. He got it between his hands, like that, and he rolled it,
yeah.
Top to bottom,
yeah.
Between his two hands,
yeah.
And he put it back in again then. And he examined it where it was lying under the along of the channel to see where it was.
Oh.
And he put in another reed into it then. There was a reed for learning, and then he had another
bow for bag. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's clever. It's only in the last 20 years I've heard of people doing that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the first time I've heard of one of the older people doing it.
The rush?
No, the read for learning and a read,
yes,
for playing. Yes,
that's what he had it
in. Because when people start off playing, they nearly always blow out the first read, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas an experienced player would keep it constant pressure, a fairly consistent pressure.
But that's what he would talk about.
So the read is, they can use a much more sensitive read, and they feel happier with something that's lighter, you know?
Yeah.
But if somebody, a beginner gets a hold of a read like that,
Destroy him, please. Yeah. Broke his elbow too much. Yeah. Destroy it. But that was the way it was, and he had it.
Yeah.
And he was very exact. Very exact.
So we were telling you about your own pipe anyway. I mean, what age were you when you started playing? Do you mind me asking?
I don't mind indeed. I don't mind indeed.
Not as sensitive as all about age. Yeah.
No, I suppose I must have been 13 or 14 years of age.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What happened here in the old house, we're living in an old attached house, which is here at the front of this. That's where we were living. And of course, it's smaller than the kitchen, smaller than here. But if you started to say to play them or talk to them, it was the children who were all in the house, you were annoying everybody.
Yeah.
You want to be able to do it, get you want to go up into the top of George Tower or something.
I used to send him up the mountain.
It's always difficult to listen to somebody practice. You know,
it's a small baby, but if you start to try to
practice. My father wouldn't mind. My father was another old man. He was older than my father, he used to admit, and either of them wouldn't mind. What way he had screeched them, so long as he made noise with them.
Oh, okay.
He could set up for anything, only he'd let a bit of place to his knees. That was at that time.
And did you start with that canal set now, or did you have a practice?
Oh, I had. Harrell made the chanter, Guardian chanter, Abellis.
That's the one that you have? Yeah.
Yes,
a lovely
one.
So you started with that one?
Yeah, started with that.
And you played that for?
Oh, well, I was practicing at them on and off then for years, and I think it's been about. It's about 1930 years. 1938 or 39 that I got the other pipes from there from Haley O'Malian. I was over and we had the thresher, we used to be thresher.
Yeah.
And she asked me about the pipes.
Right.
And she said that she liked some of the family had happened. So they were in a bag.
Yeah.
It was made for them to fit into.
Oh, like a cloth bag?
Cloth bag, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
And a string, a runner string on the top was the tightest.
Yeah.
So, I were in that, and she brought them down to me, and I was.
Who would Katie over here?
She was a sister now.
Right.
And Ned Malian was a brother, and he was in America, and he had them in America. And Dick Mayer turned them up for him. But while I don't know what time it turned up, whether it was when he came back. But it must have been before he came back there and done them. And Ned told me that he used to play on Sir Patrick's Day in New York, these pipes. And they used to put them up onto a high, some kind of a transport, and I was over the top of the player, and he had to go along the streets, playing with me. That was Ned Mayer, brother of Dick's.
Yeah.
He wasn't much of a piper, though.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't much, you know, he did a lot, but he wasn't much of a piper, but he had them. Yeah. So, of course, Nicky Morby had them then, and Katie then wanted me to get them.
Right.
His sister. Right. So, I got them and had them. She said she wanted them to be kept in the family.
Sure.
Is
that the one
Shannon
has?
The one that
And would you have been playing out now? I mean, would you have played out at, you know, functions around?
Very little. Jimmy Dolan, he was a biker over here from Court Hill.
Heard of his name already.
You did,
yeah.
Mulcone was his. Jimmy Mulcone was an uncle of his.
Oh, right, okay.
He was a piper and a pipe maker. And he was in Dublin. He lived in Dublin too.
Yeah. Did you ever come across Willie Reynolds?
Oh, I did indeed. And Willie Reynolds started a class, a weekly class up here in Frogney. Where you turned in on this road.
Yeah.
There was a school there and he started in it and a few was just to go up to it. It only went on for a while, not very long, because what used to happen was when they were coming through Ballymahon, apparently they couldn't turn right, they always had to turn left. And it was the middle of the night before they arrived down to the school, you see. Jesus, the way that thing goes, fell through.
Yeah.
And we were, I don't know what it was. I think she lived us up for the night.
Yeah.
Once a week. So he was there on it. And I tell you who, there was a chap, but Ward, he was Ward from Wallerstown. And he had a set of Dick's pipes.
Oh, really?
He had a set of Dick's pipes. Small set.
Half Ward, is it? You can't remember the first name.
I can't tell you. He's dead. Yeah. And who did you say has his pipes?
Oh, I think Peter Carberry knew about right, it's not that. Does Willie Reynolds have them, no?
Willie Reynolds had them, of course.
Oh, he said they're gone over someone over the west.
Well, anyway,
yeah,
he had a Rousham's chatter on this set of pipes.
Right.
But I had the pipes, Dick's pipes with me up there in the school. And, of course, from one thing to another, talking. So did he get the chatter? The chatter that Jonathan has now.
Yeah.
And it's going across the back of Reed and all that.
Yeah.
And he put it in into his pipes. And as soon as he did, they went like an organ. It was a proper one for it.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a different set of pipes, different music altogether when they put this Dick's chatter to it that should have been with it.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to chatter, I don't know.
It was probably a C sharp set, and
yeah.
But he only had a Rousham
concert
chatter.
That fellow Joe McKenna has a set of Meadies pipes, and he plays a C sharp with a Rousham chatter.
I thought you said that it was him that had them. Somebody said that he had them, or was it Peter Carberry that said it?
Maybe it's him. I didn't know they were the same set then, but I know he has a C-sharp set of me in his pipes, but he doesn't have
the chanter. He doesn't have a C-sharp chanter, and a lady C-sharp.
Well, anyway, that's the way that went anyway. So, of course, I got rid of my ushers at 30 years, I say.
Always not bang on the door, especially if there's a sound of a machine going.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you jumped or whatever, you know.
Mm.
Oh, I'm terrible.
Well, I believe we heard it here today that Noel Carberry, a son of Peter Carberry,
yeah.
do you know Peter?
I do,
you
know? I know Noel as well.
You do? Well, Noel Carberry was up in Dublin.
Is that the second set he's had stolen? I have a funny feeling. Unless it was... does Willie Reynolds have a son? Unless it was him I was talking to. I was talking to somebody about... as one or the other of them, either Noel Carberry or son of Willie Reynolds, I can't remember which.
Yeah.
And it must be... It might even be 8 years ago. But they said to me they were in the Prince of Wales in Athlone playing in the gig and came out and put the pipes into the boot of the car. And it was an estate car. It didn't have a boot,
yes,
it had you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
But he had a fiddle and a guitar or something else, and drums or something. And he put the pipe box in and shut the thing and locked it, turned on the alarm, and walked back into the hotel to tell the fellas to hurry up or something.
Mm.
And next thing you hear, there's an alarm going, and came running out, and only the pipes were gone. I have a funny feeling it was a Rousham set then.
Could have been, yeah.
I just kept thinking, when I remember I heard about Noel Carver, I'm because I remember him telling me at the time that somebody must have been watching him, because, like, most people, unless you're a musician or something, you wouldn't know that a square box is, you know what I mean, like, could be anything.
Could be.
If you got a boot open and you saw, obviously, a fiddle and whatever, like, they'd be better bets for somebody who didn't know what they were taking to grab,
that's
you know?
Right, yeah.
They should know what you were grabbing.
It must be another cover, you see, they must be watching.
They must have been.
Yeah, but I mean, it was kind of unusual and never showed up again, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody must be sitting on those. Don't we? Like, because they could never bring them out in public. Because, I mean,
somebody would recognize
it. Absolutely, and it's all over the place. It's all over the world. I got a message from Norway last 2 weeks ago telling me about an old carpet spike. Telling me to watch out.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the other.
Yeah.
Well, it was announced here on Shannon's side is a local radio.
He's having a benefit, I think, is it next week or the week after?
But apparently it was on the radio that he got assessed.
It's on the radio this morning.
Oh, really?
There's a man, he's a disc jockey, Joe Finnegan.
Yeah.
It's on it, and he done a great chat with Peter Carberry, or with Noel Carberry about spikes.
Yeah.
I was listening to it going at the top, and he asked an appeal to the people everywhere, and he said that if ever he was going to make a collection of them, or to get him a pipe, that he'd help them out. Now, I believe he announced it this morning that some man has given the 7 pipes, which is great. Now, that'd be a great gift, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Be too many of those get to give out now these days.
Yeah, I'm
not.
Was he?
Was
he believe in that?
No,
that's the highest
set of
bikes.
Oh, that's it. Dutch bikes.
Yeah.
And what make were those
points
on? I think Bruce.
Bruce Duvet, I think. Yeah. But I have a funny feeling that he told me. This is why I think it might be Noel that had the. I think there were a rousing set that Peter gave. Like when he was 20 or 21 or around that kind of age, you know. And like Peter was very upset at the time. I'm nearly sure it's not Nolan, but anyway, he told me after that he was going to get Kevin Thompson to do a challenge, and that he had Bruce Duvet, they had bits and pieces, they were kind of making a set.
Yeah.
They had Bruce Duvet regulators, and I have a funny feeling that the rest of the thing was actually done by Kevin Thompson. But my memory might be haywire, you know, I might be thinking of something else altogether, you know.
Yeah.
I just kind of think back. But, I got my first set of pipes in 75, I think.
Yes.
And I was going to Matt Kieran at the time. Did you ever meet Matt Kieran?
No, I didn't know.
And Matt was showing me how to make pipes, you know. And I brought them up to Matt anyway, and of course I was over the moon, you know.
Yes.
Set up a pipe, look at this, and look at that, you know. And I said, and look, Matt, look, they were 50 years out in the hen house, and I said, look at this, look, the bags still work, look, no leaks, look at this, that's unbelievable, you know. And Matt starts laughing, and he was delighted. I knew he was really chuffed about something, you know. So I thought it was just, you know, and then he said to me, I made that bag, he said, in 1927. I said, what? Couldn't believe it. You've seen this set of pipes before? He said, yes, he said. And I'm going to introduce this to somebody. So when the annual weekend, the Tinoles, you know, the pipers get together every year for a weekend. When that came around a few weeks later, he brought me over, he introduced me to Willie Reynolds. And of course, Willie nearly fell off the chair when he saw the pipes. Because I had them cleaned up and they all looked great. They were plain and everything, you know. So, Willie was getting upset and delighted, you know. I couldn't believe that he was seeing them. And he said to me, did Matt tell you? And I said, no. He said, in 1925, he said, a fellow in Tipperary phoned me up and said, he'd heard that there was a set of pipes for sale up in Roscommon. And the two of them drove up in a car in 1925 up to Roscommon. And this man, Cody, from Tipperary, paid £36. And Willie was checking the set for him and said he thought it'd be fairly good, you know.
Yeah.
Paid £36 for the video.
Back in 1925.
And Billy hadn't seen them since. And he hadn't heard, like, you know. Oh, and he couldn't believe when I produced them, like, 52 years later, like, you know.
And where did they come from? How did they get them?
He sold out on the internet.
No, that band Cody brought them home and he played them for a bit. He brought them up to Leo Rouse, of course. And Rouse said they'd never be any use. And he took some reeds out, put some reeds in. So, and then he went to Matt and Matt put the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought them home. He played them for a bit on and off. And he wasn't that interested, really. And put them back in the original bag. And they were left out in the hen house and whatever. And it was a son of his that eventually.
Yeah.
Like, they were all covered in hen dirt. They were pretty grotty now, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I cleaned them up and got them played and whatever, whatever. But another interesting thing about them was when I went to buy them, I didn't realise that he'd sell them to me, but anyway, he just told me a day or two. I said, well, sure, look, at some time if I come and buy, I'll drop in and sure meet you. And, you know, I'll give you some advice on how to store them, you know, because if you keep leaving them, if you're leaving them outside, they're going to, they might even be gone already, you know. But the chanter had a crack from the top hole right down to the bottom hole.
Yeah.
You know, from right down the front. And it was about that wide open. I mean, it was just completely open. So I said, oh, well, you know, that's a terrible sign now, because that's where it would, you know. And he said, oh, yeah, I suppose. So anyway, he said he'd send me the pipe, so I, you know, we did the deal and whatever. And we went down to Pat's father, wasn't very well, and he had been praying that I'd get a set of pipes because I was absolutely hyped about getting a set of pipes. You know? And brought him down and showed them the kitchen almost exactly like this. And showed them to our father, and I said, the sad thing is that it'll never, they'll never play because look at the crack. Mm-hmm. See? It was actually worse than this, but anyway, you could see right into the inside the chanter, completely open. Put them back in the bag. It was a cloth bag. It was actually a canvas bag that had been used to carry part of a gun in the First World War.
Oh yes.
But anyway, put them back, and we went to bed. The next morning, I get up and I'm still, you know, have to take a look again. And the crack was definitely not as bad as it was the previous day.
He said, forget it, go back.
And by that evening, I was able to put a reed in it, and it made a noise.
Yeah.
Crack had sealed within just over 24 hours. Isn't that amazing? It just closed down. I never did anything with it. You can still see the crack is there, but it just closed over again. But it had been so open. I wouldn't believe that it happened, you know, and it just closed back over again. And it's still like that today.
That's the tailor.
You mentioned there a few moments ago about Cody.
Brian Cody, yeah.
Was he a school teacher?
No, he was a bank manager.
Bank manager?
Yeah.
His father made him manager.
No, I'm nearly sure his father was a manager in Bank of Ireland in Tipperary town, I think.
Because there was a Commander Cody, he was a school teacher in Balnacarrick here.
Right.
And I was going up one day and I met him. And he invited me in. So I went in. He was a musician. He had a great piano here. And he started playing on the piano for me. So he went over and there was an old, settee. So I put out this box from under me, and he had a beautiful set of pipes. It was all recommended. Cody.
That's that.
Well, the carry.
That's what I'm just thinking about, to see the footage.
It must be. It looked, for all the world, like that set that Omidy's playing, except there's four regulators on.
Four regulators.
Silver.
Yes. For a beauty.
Yeah. That's it. Isn't that unbelievable? And his son was a bank manager in Forest of Cain that I got the pipes off, but I thought he told me that his father was in the bank manager as well.
Well, he took off this set of papers anyway.
That would actually make more sense about contacting Woody Reynolds as well. I always wondered, how could we contact Woody Reynolds if he was down in Tipperary? And I was, I said to Willie, I said, gosh, you must have been famous in 1925. Like, I mean, if he was looking for somebody to test the set of pipes.
Yeah.
And Willie, no, I don't really remember now or something, you know. And, you know, that would make a lot more sense.
Well, see, when you mentioned the name, you see, that's what I was going to mention. Because I knew him, well, his wife and himself, too.
Right. That's right, the son did tell me. When I said to him, did your father not play much? He said, he liked this thing to have a few people in and a few drinks, and they'd sing a few songs and he'd play the piano and whatever.
That's it.
And he said, and he'd get the pipes out and he'd play a few tunes, but he was like a gentleman piper, like, you know, you only, it was only an occasional thing. Like,
well, that
you know,
would be surely him.
That must be him.
Yeah, she just wanted to delight now, you know, yeah.
Well, that was fine. I'm not saying that is simple.
Well, sounds very much like it.
Yeah.
Well, four regulators.
Yeah. Well, there's only, I don't know, if there's even half a dozen Taylor sets with four regulators around the place that we could put our finger on, you know.
Yeah.
I know I fell in love with it, but that's all I could do. Because I went down to Mrs. O'Malley's.
Yeah.
Back in the early 50s.
Right.
And my uncle received it in there with my aunt.
Sure.
And we went over to it, and of course I had a quite hard to get it.
Yeah.
So I was late.
Yeah.
Oh, she had teared out all and gone. I think
after he died now.
Her name is someone, but I forgot.
Yeah.
Some of the papers that he taught.
Oh, right.
And they had some of them.
Yeah.
So she says to me, anyway, this is the last night. She says to me, well, I'll have a look out, she says, for a set of papers for you in the dicks.
Yeah.
I'll have a look out for you to get them if I can. So she wrote to me at the time. And she said that she had got a set of pipes back on the RLs and for £30. That's what I'd have to give me. Well, at that time,
I know,
£30.
It was out of the way, out of question.
Oh, yeah.
Good question for me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No.
So, there I missed it, so I never got an opportunity.
Yeah.
She got the set, but what set she got back, I don't know, but it was a set of Richards.
Yeah. Well, I said, sure, come by sometime. He rang me and he asked me, will I be coming down? And I said, ah, yeah, sure, be coming down, you know. And I thought I was only going to go and see the set, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, he rang me 2 days on the Wednesday and said, I'm thinking now I might sell him. I said, okay, well, sure, we'll see you on Saturday, anyway. You know. And I had rung my father and said, give me a lend to the car.
Mm.
We didn't have a car at that stage. But I had a really good guitar. And I put an ad in the paper immediately. And I said, I got 175. Was it 275 I got for the guitar? I thought it was worth about £400 at the time, which would be a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
£5,000, £6,000, £7,000 now, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a fair bit of money. And I had £275, and I was thinking, oh, gee, thank you. Well, at least it's instrument money, you know. And I hope that doesn't find out which I got for it. But and I was kind of thinking to myself, you'd never sell me pipes for £275, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I set it off at this morning with him. And when I saw what it was, you know, my heart sank because I thought, you know, I can't take these off, really, you know. So
yeah.
I said, but you know what you have? And he said, ah, sure, I don't really care now. I've got something in my mind, I want something. And if I get the money for it now. So I said, well, I can't afford these. So I said that straight off. you'll certainly get 400 or 500 pounds if you spread the word around. I said, I don't have that. Well, I have a number that I want. I want 100 pounds. And I said, but you understand what you have. Like, what I'm saying to you is, like, if I go back to Dublin and I tell some lads that this four regulator set of tailors is for sale, somebody will produce 500 pounds straight off. And if you wait a month, 6 weeks, if I write to America, somebody will come back and pay you 1 or 2,000 quid. If I get 100 pounds now, I'm happy. So I said,
He didn't want them to resale, wasn't it?
Yeah, he didn't. And I was going to say, do you not want them?